Since we have no show tomorrow and Friday, our good buddy, handicapper Lee Sterling with Paramount Sports and ParamountSports.com joins us. Lee, I hope you're having a good day, and welcome back to the show.
Thanks a lot. Yeah, getting close to that time. We're you walk into the kitchen and, you know, grab a few little samples of everything as they're cooking them.
Oh, see, we're doing a little differently. I love to cook for the holidays, like tomorrow and Christmas, and we're kind of taking a break this week. It's just gonna be the wife and myself as far as this Thanksgiving, and then we reevaluate that as far as Christmas. So, we're gonna try to do as little as cooking as possible and allow others to do it for us.
Okay, I'm here working. Be working until about 9 o'clock tonight. Worked 2 days straight, about 12, 13 hours. So my wife and two daughters are having fun in the kitchen. My youngest is home from college, so they're just having a good time cooking and check, you know, getting everything ready. And when I come home, I'll start doing the sampling.
I did something really crazy. I guess this was back, I don't know, when I was in my 30s or so. So I just had the great idea.
Yeah, 5 years ago then, right?
Oh yeah, it has been. It's been a couple of decades. So, but I, you know, I'm fine with the grill, love cooking, but I never took on the responsibility of the big meal. And I was selfish in this thinking because, you know, prior to that, like the year before, you know, it was limited because I grew up where 75 people would be, you know, just stuffed into a house. And I'm used to the spread, you know, the turkey, the ham,
right.
10 or 12 casserole dishes, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Well, the year before, I had a turkey, two sides, and, one dessert choice, and it's like, that's just not going to work. So I took on the entire, Christmas dinner. So this was a holiday, and got to the point where whether it's Thanksgiving or Christmas, I just loved to cook everything, but it was selfish because I wanted to spread. I wanted leftovers to carry me through, like in this case, for Thursday, right. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and so I took it upon myself. So 12 hours of cooking, did everything, and so that's how. And did I know what I was doing? Absolutely not, but everybody was expecting it the next year after that. So
okay, that's a lot of fun. So I know what I want, so we all get together and everyone decides what dishes you want this year. We're usually at 32 to 35, so we're only six this year, so it's going to be a lot smaller, but, we'll make the best of it, and even though two games are canceled already, just going to do the best we can.
All right, so here we are. One of the things I love to point out each and every week is the fact that when all three of us, you, Alan Bell, and myself, are on the same side, we win. And even last week, you know, we snapped a six-game winning streak last week. But that's all right because we took the second game. So we were 2-1 last week when all three of us were on the same side, which is 67%. Nothing to sneeze at. But for the year, we're 16-5, 76% when we're all three on the same side.
Wow. Pretty impressive.
And guess what? We have two chances for that today. Just two.
All right.
Well, it beats like 2 weeks ago when we had none. We were all over the place. So, and that was obviously a weekend that I struggled. I think you had a better grasp, and Alan had a better grasp than I did. So that's on me. I blame me. I'm going to try to come back strong today. All right, so we had Tennessee-Vanderbilt slated, but that game, once again, gets postponed. Now Vanderbilt on the road to take on Missouri. So instead we have Texas A&M taking on the LSU Tigers. Texas A&M, I think they're in a great shape as far as when you look at the College Football Playoff Committee poll, the fact that they don't have to play in the SEC championship game, they can just watch everybody else mess up. Like Notre Dame, I think, is going to mess up, but we'll talk about that in just a moment. So here's Texas A&M and our good buddy Jimbo Fisher, 14.5-point favorites at home against LSU. I think that number's too big. I like the way LSU played last week. They were in a game against Arkansas, their first game in 3 weeks. Certainly redeemed themselves after being embarrassed on the road against Auburn. And I see another situation here where I think LSU, you know, they still have pride. They still have individuals that were part of last year's national championship team. They're back at 500. They don't want to finish below 500. I'm tempted to even say this is going to be an outright upset, but I'm not going to go crazy. But I certainly like the 14.5 points. So I'm going to take LSU plus the 14.5. Allen's on the other side. He has taken the Aggies, giving the 14.5.
I think you've fallen for the trap here. And this is crazy. Last year, LSU won 50-7. So usually you can't make up that many points in a year, but LSU has fallen off that much. And, you know, they got to play an Arkansas team last week that gives a lot of effort, but they were down so many players. I mean, it was, that was, calling that a patchwork team would be kind to Arkansas, but they just didn't have the talent. A&M has been recruiting. Problem with them this year is they had four players opt out, all four starters, and I just think it took them time to get going. Watch their offensive and defensive lines. I think they're top five, top six in the country. They are that good along the offensive and defensive line. Also, Isaiah Spiller, the running back, now over almost 650 yards. He has finally come into his own. Also, LSU has actually even won against the spread the last nine games. Looks like everything's going, you know, A&M's way. And like I said, it's 2020. So that streak of nine straight is all over for LSU. I think A&M wins this game by three touchdowns, 45-24.
So you have more faith in Jimbo than I do. But we'll see how it plays out. They certainly have more to play for than LSU.
Mm-hmm.
All right, the next game, it'll be Friday. Hey, this is a fun game for Friday. When I saw this, I was like, oh, this is cool. I like this. Friday afternoon, you got Notre Dame on the road taking on North Carolina. They're getting all this love from the College Football Playoff Committee. They're a solid number two behind Alabama. And here's Notre Dame giving 4.5 on the road against the North Carolina Tar Heels. You know, I'm tempted to even go straight money line and take North Carolina in this one. I like Sam Howell in these kind of games. Now you go, okay, how did they lose to Florida State? Well, all kinds of things went wrong in that first half against the Florida State Seminoles. And in the end, North Carolina had the ball with a chance to actually win that game. And the only other loss was three games ago when they lost at Virginia 44-41. These two losses, by the way, just a quick reminder, they were on the road. This one is at home. And, you know, it's a weird start time, weird day. You don't play on Fridays. I'm so tempted just to say North Carolina is going to win this game outright, but I'm going to take the 4.5. And North Carolina, I think, is going to be in that situation. But if I had to pick a big upset this weekend, I think it's North Carolina. So I'm going to take the points. And Alan Bell on the other side, he's taking Notre Dame, giving the points.
Well, I agree with you 100%. And here's one of the reasons that most people don't realize. Last year, when they were the hunter, North Carolina was a really good team. I mean, they played hard. They played well. This year, when they've been a favorite, they just haven't been a very good team. But as an underdog, they seem to play at a different level. Also, with Notre Dame not facing a high-level passer, I think it gives a good matchup here to North Carolina. Sam Howell in the 2022 draft, I think he's going to be a top-five pick in the first round. Even though Clemson has weapons, I actually think that North Carolina has more weapons at running back and wide receiver. So Irish also down two starting offensive linemen, right guard Tommy Kramer, appendectomy about 10 days ago. He's not ready to go yet. Jared Patterson, injured in the BC games, done for the year. I think Notre Dame can be had. I think if you're really good in the skill positions, you can beat them. That was one of the first notes that I put after both games, watching the first two games of the year. Just haven't faced, if they would have faced Trevor Lawrence, they would have had to pay the price, but now they will. In a barn burner, I like North Carolina 45-42.
There, see, we're on the same side. I like that. All right, this will be the interesting one because I grew up a Bama fan and a household of Auburn fans. I'm married to a Auburn fan as well. And so you would probably think you would know where I'm going with this. As far as the whole Nick Saban not being on the sideline, I don't think that makes a difference. And no, just to clarify too, he is not allowed to have a booth anywhere. He's not allowed to participate in the coaching of this game on Saturday afternoon. So just this is, of course, according to the NCAA rules. So just throwing that out there. But with that said, you know, the biggest thing I like about this game actually would be the under 62.5. I think Alabama wins comfortably in this game. The 24.5 is what I have a big problem with, because that's one of the things that we can count on with Gus Malzahn, head coach of the Auburn Tigers, during his tenure, is the fact that these games aren't getting those type of margins, right? Even when Alabama's favored big. Now, I do realize 2 years ago, a payback game of sorts, Alabama blew out the Auburn Tigers by 31, different circumstances. I think Auburn scores enough. I think it's going to be close to that spread. But, you know, I'm going to take the 24.5 and the Auburn Tigers and against Alabama. I do think Alabama rolls big, something like 41-17 or whatever. Just that 24.5, a little bit too much. And if you want to go extra on that, I would even say go the under as well. But I'm taking Auburn plus the points. And Alan, actually, this is our first of our two. He's on the same side with me.
So I liked Auburn a lot. And I thought it, you know, would be a strong selection, probably the weakest of the five. And the reason I say that is injuries. And looks like maybe their top running back, two starting offensive tackles may not be a go. Even a couple guys on defense for Auburn are banged up, and they're not as deep as Alabama, and that's what troubles me. Mac Jones is going to get his revenge. You know, he had those two pick sixes last year that caught them, but Auburn's, you know, they're not intimidated. They've won four times since 2010. I actually think they have the better receivers in the game. The three receivers might be the three best trio in the country. Bo Nix, start the year was terrible. Under 50% the first four games, now over 70% in the last three games. I have Alabama winning 42-24, so I'll take the 24.5 points.
All right. So we got you now. So that's one of them right there. Now, a game that was supposed to be played tomorrow night. From a mental standpoint, this really irks the Pittsburgh Steelers just because of what happened earlier, having their schedule moved around. And so here they were ready to go against Baltimore. Baltimore having issues with COVID-19 issues, especially with their running game. Now the game is slated for Sunday. With that said, though, Baltimore, you know, I don't know if the league has figured them out. They certainly lack the weapons as far as with their wide receivers, and now their running backs are diminished as far as the depth there because of COVID-19. And then I think that there's just something wrong with Lamar Jackson mentally this year. I don't know if it's the two losses in the playoffs the last 2 years. I don't know if this, you know, has a carryover effect of what the Titans did to that team last year. But Lamar Jackson, and then when he's when he is forced to try to throw the ball downfield, the lack of accuracy, he kind of reminds me in so many ways of Marcus Mariota. And so because of that, and Pittsburgh, you know, marching right along undefeated, they're at home, they have to give Baltimore the four. I'm good with that. So I'm taking the Steelers minus the four, and Alan is also on the same side with me.
So when I'm looking at this game, and then I found out about them moving the game, I think now I heard that Harbaugh wanted to move the game back. Might end up hurting me even more. If they find out more cases, then they're in more trouble. They're going to have to bring up more guys from the practice squad. But everyone's talking about the two running backs, J.K. Dobbins and Mark Ingram, being out. I don't think that's the biggest problem, because Gus Edwards and Justice Hill will be fine. I think it's the loss of nose tackle Brandon Williams. When he was in and out of the lineup the last couple of games, gave him a breather in a couple series, and also he missed some time in the game last week, missed much of the second half. You could run a Mack truck through that defensive line. So I think that Pittsburgh will actually run more than they've run in the past. Think that their DBs can't cover or tackle, and they're having offensive line issues. Lamar Jackson's making the wrong read early and often on the spread option, whether to keep it, whether to hand it off. And then when he goes to throw the ball, his receivers are getting no separation, and they're 29th in drop percentage. I mean, this is a team that people were talking about might go undefeated, lose one or two games. I think Baltimore's done. I like Pittsburgh 28-17.
All right, so that's the two. We're all three on the same side, taking Auburn in the points and taking Pittsburgh given the points. So something to pay attention to, see if our great percentage continues for the rest of the year. All right, one more game, Indianapolis at home A 3-point favorite now against the Tennessee Titans. And I wonder if they're a 3-point favorite because it's been going down, which means the money is going on the Tennessee Titans side. It makes me wonder if it's because of what happened against Baltimore. Are they reading too much into that? And it's, you know, it's one of those things that could be a trap where sometimes you don't want to overthink whatever you saw the week before. Because for me, I look back at Baltimore, kind of, yeah, great that the Titans found a way to win the game, but I also think it was had a little bit to do with the fact that Baltimore didn't finish that game in the fourth quarter. Stats that stick out to me, Indianapolis 4-1 in the last five games against the Titans. Since 2008, that last game, where Indianapolis 20-4. You just don't see domination like that in the NFL too often, where one team is beating the other one so badly. The other part, when the Titans go into Indianapolis, they're 2-10 in the last 12 meetings, and only one of those 10 losses, by the way, was by 3.5 points or less. And that's why we look at where the spread is. Here's Indianapolis, a 3-point favorite against the Titans. Throw away week one. I think Phillip Rivers is finding ways to get it done with the Colts. I like the direction the Colts are, and you go back two games ago, certainly the Titans looked good in the first 30 minutes, fell apart in the second half, but you know, I'm just looking for consistency, and until you show it to me, I got to go with the hot hand. I'm taking Indianapolis, giving the Titans the 3 on Sunday. Allen on the other side, he's taking the Titans plus the 3.
I'm going to take the Titans here plus 3. I think that they're just a streaky team. And even though both teams, I mean, Tennessee goes to overtime, Indianapolis, both teams went to overtime. And I just think it maybe took more out of Indianapolis to come back in that game. And you know, they were sky high for that game. It meant that much to them. But I like the way that Ryan Tannehill is spreading the ball around. I think he had 9 different receivers. I think that getting the tight end involved in the passing game makes them a more dangerous team. So you can't just lock in on a receiver. You got it all different levels. Running back, you have threats at tight end and also a receiver. And special teams seem to be rounding into shape. Give me Tennessee. They pull off a small upset here, 31-28.
All right, I know you are on the same side as I am with the game of the week. Let the listeners know about this Ole Miss game, the Egg Bowl, 9.5-point favorites against Mississippi State.
Yeah, they want to get this game, give it to them for free. I love this one side of this game. All they need to do, call 800-400-9741. First 10 callers get the game for free. And what a weekend this is. College basketball starts today. Last year we started 30-9 in the college basketball season. I think we're ranked 4th out of a little over 310 sports services on our selection. So, we were sad when it ended in March. We were on another run on the front side and the back side early in the season in college basketball. These lines are really soft. So you want to hop on board, check out the basketball packages. We have our Turkey Shootout, 15 games from tomorrow through Sunday, just $97, or double down December, 6 weeks of our executive phone service, just $397. It's all available. ParamountSports.com. And Johnny, want to wish you and your family and your staff and all the listeners out there a happy and healthy Thanksgiving.
It's much the same feelings towards you and your family too. Be safe. Happy Thanksgiving. Eat a lot of great food. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving weekend. And the other part too, happy winnings to you as well.
You too, buddy. Take care. Be safe.
Thank you. Lee.